Episode 4, July 9th, 2008. Welcome to The Next Step. This is Father Voskin welcoming you back to The Next Step, a series of podcasts delving into the very fabric of being, examining life through the ancient lens of Armenian Orthodoxy. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the NSU's mission, the Armenian Youth Ministry Center in Glendale, and is brought to you exclusively on the Apostles Net. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. I can't believe it's already been a month since we've been doing these podcasts, and each week the challenges grow, and sometimes they grow in different directions because we're forced by life circumstances. You know, there's a saying, if life gives you lemon, you got to make lemonade. I like that to a certain degree. Sometimes I just refuse to make the lemonade. Sometimes you just kind of like feel like, okay, let's go with the lemons. And maybe when we prepare for these podcasts, sometimes we get some lemons, we get some difficulties, and we need to sort of not avoid them and add sugar, but sort of go with the flow. And I want to do that this evening because we're up against some difficulties here in our community. We just went through a murder of a young lady across the street from our church just over a month ago, and today with the family we celebrated her life. It's exactly 40 days ago that it took place. Young lady named Yvette, 35 years old. And I wanted to maybe talk about some of the questions that came up that we reviewed today, that we talked about today with the family, and that have been coming up. Because, you know, when these kind of issues take place, when these kind of incidences take place, it's so easy for us to try to interject our understanding, a very practical kind of understanding, rather than listening. You know, I love the idea that as a human being, God has given us these two beautiful ears and only one mouth, yet isn't the proportion usually different? We love to talk a lot more than we like to listen. And sometimes when we get into these issues that are, well, how can we say, beyond us, beyond our reasoning power, when someone gets murdered, when tragedies take place, when, let's take it to the bigger scope, when sometimes natural disasters take place or some kinds of evil sicknesses that take place, you start putting reasons to them when sometimes you really can't find those reasons, or you shouldn't be. Not that we want to stay dumb or ignorant. You know, St. Paul in his writings says, we don't want you to be ignorant, brothers and sisters, concerning life. Well, yeah, you don't want to be stupid about life, but at the same time, you want to be able to enjoy a little bit of life without analyzing everything so much that you're susceptible to that paralysis, that analysis turning into paralysis. So what I'd like to do is look at an incident that takes place in Jesus' life. It's actually in the Gospel of Luke chapter 13. And if you want to find it and you want to follow along, please do so at this point, right at the beginning of chapter 13. But what happens is, what Jesus is confronted with is a natural disaster or a cataclysmic event that takes place, and people are questioning him. Why this? And it's the same question that you and I have. Why should somebody die? Why is there a tsunami that takes over 10,000 people? Why is there an earthquake which claims the lives of 100,000 people? What's wrong with these people? Why do these certain areas of the world keep having difficulties? What about what happened in New Orleans, and you know, was that some kind of curse from God, and what's going on? Is the devil playing around? You know, these are the questions that are not new, but they've been around as from the beginning of time. I could imagine the first cave people sitting around and wondering why a lightning bolt struck one you know, one animal and not the other, and wondering, well, maybe this animal was saved because it was a better animal, and maybe that's the reason why people chose steak today instead of eating pork to the amount that they do. You know, you don't know what the reasons are. Well, we do, but it's not... I'm not going to get into that whole issue of food and dietary habits, but what I'm trying to get at is there is an unfairness in life. Life is unfair. Not everybody has the same goodness that everybody else does. And so at some point, you need to explain that. And people have come up with many ways. The gods have been good to this person. The gods have been very bad to this person. God's playing a chess game and he decides to take this pawn today and take the rook tomorrow, and maybe he'll take the bishop later. Well, let's not get into those bishops, because we know those king and queens are hanging out. So before we get into any more trouble ecclesiastically on that chessboard of life, let's take a look at the Gospel of Luke chapter 13. It starts like this. There were some present at the very time who told Jesus of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifice. So in other words, this was an incident that everybody knew about. And Jesus said, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whose the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." These two incidences were very similar to, like, for instance, what happened in Burma, or the tsunami that took place a few years ago, or the floods in New Orleans. In other words, the entire world knew about it. And so people were saying, what was wrong with these people? Like, why did those floods take place in New Orleans? Or why did these other events take place? Is it because they're bad? Because they're sinners? And Jesus said, in no uncertain terms, no. Okay, let's spell that. N-O. This is very important, because we do a lot of self-blaming. Why didn't I get this? Why didn't I get that job promotion? How come she's looking at me? And how come he's not in love with me? And we go through these mental exercises. Relations sometimes fail because we think that we are not worth it, that somehow the gods have not been good to us. And what does Jesus say? No. N-O. He says that, no, it's not because of that. But he says, unless you repent, you will have the same fate. Now, what does that mean? Well, what is the repentance? Repentance is turning away. Turning away from that idea, that negativity, that idea that we need to explain things. You know, sometimes things just happen. You happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. But unless you turn away, that attitude needs to change. In other words, that acceptance that life is flowing, that life is in your hands, that it continues. And there are no guarantees from one day to the next. You know, again, we come back to this whole idea of mystery, this idea that in Orthodoxy we understand God as mystery and not so much as a personified being. Because in that personified being, that's where our troubles come up. Yes, Jesus did come. He was God personified. But bigger than the personification is his capacity to love, to be able to touch people with his love. Now, what happens is we sometimes personify God to the extent that we think of him as a Superman. So, there's floods in New Orleans. How come God didn't just come down and lift those people out of the water? Or there was an earthquake. Well, why didn't God just intervene and go under those tectonic plates and hold up the earth? You know, like in the Superman movie. Hollywood does a lot for the images that we have of God. We have this idea that he does play this game with us, when actually God is much bigger than that. God is more powerful than a Superman. God is not a Santa Claus that you could just say, here's my list of things that I need, and expect it to find it under a tree. What God is that love. That's what Jesus taught. That's what orthodoxy presented through us, and most pronouncedly in the Gospel of John. John says straight out, God is love. So is God all-powerful? Yes, absolutely. Love is all-powerful, but not in the sense that you and I are used to talking about power. In other words, love isn't a Superman. It isn't somebody that flies in there and fixes things in the way that you and I want it to be done. This is a very important understanding, because when tragedies happen in our lives, we're so quick to give excuses. We're so quick to try to find a reason for it. Is this person a sinner? You know, all of a sudden we get on our high horse. We start thinking that we're the God and we need to judge. This happens over and over, time and time again. I know that even some people under the guise of Christianity have even accused people because of the AIDS epidemic, because of different areas that they live in, and because of their preferences. People have said this is God's punishment. You know what? We need to back off and let God be God and us be people. In other words, we don't need to judge people. What we need to do is be able to, as Jesus said, unless you repent, your fate will be the same. What he's saying there is you need to back off and look at your life and not worry about everybody else's. It comes up over and over in the gospel messages. You know, you got to let God be God. But we're just so quick on saying that who's right and who's wrong, and we get this where? From our surroundings. You look at the political powers. We go into different countries and we start bombing people. And what's the purpose of that? You know, to say that we're right, our brand of democracy is okay and yours isn't, or your way of thinking isn't as good as ours. And we bring this on into our religion as well, so that my religion is better than yours and my God is more powerful than yours. And what happens in the end? You have gods fighting each other, you have people hating each other, and love is not served. This is a very profound understanding of our relationship with God that Jesus talks about in this passage. In other words, it's up to us. Look at where the emphasis is. He says, unless you change. He doesn't say that these disasters happened because they were bad people. And in fact, just the opposite. He says, no, but unless you change. He doesn't give an answer for it either. He doesn't say, well, it's because this happened. But sometimes in our lives, we know that there are answers. You know why earthquakes happen? Well, the earth is settling. You know, I remember a few years ago when, actually it's 20 years ago, I can't believe time goes by so quickly, when the Armenian earthquake happened in 1988. There was 25,000 people reported killed, and some estimates go up to 50,000 people. The magnitude of that quake was somewhere right around 7. It was 6.9, if I remember right. And I'll never forget how devastated we were as a people. And I was living up north at this time, up north, Northern California, end of 1988, and we went out there and we did our best to collect for Armenia and shipped all kinds of goods and services to Armenia. And I'll never forget that about 10 months later, it was in October of 89, we had an earthquake. We had an earthquake in San Francisco, and the magnitude of that was just a little bit higher than the Armenian quake. It was, I think, a 7.1, if I remember right. And there wasn't that kind of destruction that there was in Armenia. And of course, if you look at it, well, you know, in Armenia, under the system that prevailed at that time, many of the houses were made minus the concrete and so on and so on. You know what the story was under Soviet times and how shabby those that construction was. What I'm getting at is that the people didn't die because the earth settled. It died because of man's greed, man's need to take away those elements that God had given him for him to use, and rather than use, that man took the advantage and abused it. And here I was in San Francisco a year after the Armenian earthquake, and I'll never forget, we got together in our churches and we grieved and we mourned. And I happened to be in San Francisco the following year when they I want to say, actually celebrated the first anniversary of the San Francisco quake. And I'll never forget the difference that there was. Where we as Armenians were mourning the loss, the American mentality was to commemorate and celebrate the victory of life. And I think that as we move on with these next step programs, just as important as it is to get out the message of Armenian Orthodoxy, equally important is for us to understand that Orthodoxy is not a stagnant, is not something that just remains in the past, but it flows and it changes. Just like the early understanding, Albert Einstein had this understanding that the universe was stagnant, that there was a certain number of miles between each of the galaxies, and as science evolved and his understanding evolved, we came to that understanding of this expanding universe, that yes, it could have started at one point and it is now expanding. In the same way, Orthodoxy is not something that is renegade to the past, that yes, we did have some greats, we had some great saints who spoke, but equally as important is we are part of the Orthodox Church. You can't have an Orthodox Church that is only in the past, but it is living today. And that living means that you need to be able to change. You need to be able to flow. You look at the Armenian Orthodox liturgy. As late as the 18th century, 19th century, they were adding to that liturgy. Today, sometimes you lose, not only in the Armenian Orthodox, but in all Orthodox churches, you talk about change. People sometimes get all bent out of shape, like, oh, we can't touch that. It's sacred. Of course you can touch it. Just as late as the 19th century, they added the Dervohormia, which people love, the Dervohormia. Why did they add that? It was the Lord have mercy. We were going through difficulties and we needed to adapt. We needed to add a bit of time for us to kneel down and really come to terms with the idea of not only ourselves, but our families and our country and our nation being paralyzed at the grips of the enemy. And so we added this prayer called Dervohormia. And in the same way, that should tell us that we are evolving, that we are changing, that we need to adapt some of the best that we can from our surroundings and make it into a living Orthodox Church. And of course, when I'm talking about Orthodox Church, it's Orthodox faith, a faith that's beyond our human capacity to put it together as a structure, but a faith that does live within each and every one of us. And that change is so vital on all aspects. Whether you're someone coming into Orthodoxy, whether you're somebody who's wants to learn what the faith is that you were brought up with, what is that ancestral beginnings? What is that faith? Where does it come from that you feel? Because I think that the greatest way to attest to Orthodoxy is not to learn it, but to actually live it. And these next steps are exactly that point. Not to teach, but to live, but to take the opportunity to look at life through that lens of that ancient faith, an ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. Now, we talked about these natural disasters. We talked about some of these difficult times that we go through. You can expand that any way you want to. We talked about the earthquakes and, of course, the tsunamis. These are ones that all of us can relate to. But we all have individual pains. We all have individual sufferings. Some people, of course, have sicknesses, illnesses. Some are just sometimes so terrible that you wouldn't wish it upon your enemy, as they would say. Some people have financial difficulties, so overwhelming that they become so burdened that it even threatens their lives, and certainly it threatens their relationships. Relationships, that's a whole nother area where people have tried and they tried over and over, whether it's with a spouse, with a boyfriend, a girlfriend, with a parent, with a child, trying over and over and finding that there is no reconciliation. And you put your hands up and you say, why? Why did this happen? Why aren't these things coming? And I want you to turn back to those special words, that it is not because you are a sinner. It is not because you are a bad person. But unless you change, and what is that change? To be able to redirect. Repent means to turn around, redirect. Redirect your outlook. And you can do this. It is not something that's impossible. It is something that each and every one of us can do by an act that is so simple. And that act is that act of love, which has all of its elements: forgiveness, compassion, caring. You know, relationships are probably the one area that touches each and every one of us. We've all experienced relationships that somehow have gone awry, that have touched us in a very sad way. I'm going to play you a song right now. It's written by an artist named Daryl Vartanian. It's on his latest CD called Guarded. It is a song called Daddy. Listen to the song, listen to what he has to say, and when we come back, I want to take this experience that he's talking about and then move to the next step.
Wanted to go my way, didn't mean to go straight. I remember I was so young, I ran away from home. When my father told me, you better listen, my son, 'cause you left home when you were too young. When is daddy coming home? Didn't mean to let you down, son. No, not this time around. I'm so sorry to say, things never turned out our way. When you shall grow up, your daddy will be your best friend. Well, I still pray to the Father above, the one we all should love. My son said the other day, Daddy, I wanna be in your arms. Are you coming home to stay, Dad? The kid seems so glad. Didn't mean to let you down, son. No, not this time around. I'm so sorry to say, things never turned out our way. When you shall grow up, your daddy will be your best friend. Well, I still pray to the Father above, the one we pray to the Father above, the one we all should love.
You know, we were saying earlier about the lemons and lemonade. It's not always important to sugarcoat or to stick some sugar in that lemon. Sometimes those lemons teach us some of life's greatest truths, and they become opportunities for us to reach out and repair. Repair is very important. Now, I want you to think about some of the relationships that you have, some of the challenges that are in your life, some of the areas for repair in your life. And if you think about it, there's opportunities there for you to reach out and really live a life that's full of love. That love being nothing greater than the greatest power of this universe, being that power that puts everything together. You look at examples that have been given to us, especially in Orthodoxy. If you look at the progression progression. God is said to have created a universe, has put together all of life as we know it. And whether you want to accept creation, you want to accept evolution or whatever, there's one bottom line that we all come down to, and that is that there has to have been an author of life, and that author is this ultimate love. This is God. And God creates life, and you look at the tradition tells us that he gives laws and people break those laws, and he gives prophets, people who have special connections with God, and they destroy these prophets. And then finally he gives his very own. He gives love personified in Jesus Christ. And what do? We just take him and nail him to a cross. We put some big old nails through his hands. We whip him. And then finally we take the entire life out of this man's system. And why? Because he had the audacity to tell us to love one another. That's it. If you think about it, where's the fairness in that? If you think about it, where was God, this Superman that we claim that is going to come down and fix these things? If there was any time for him to come in, that would have been the time, but he doesn't. And so when we sit back and we say, why isn't he here? Why isn't he thing? It's because love is this incredible power which is greater than that Superman, which allows for these difficulties, which allows for these hardships in our lives. And Jesus there on the cross looks down on his creation and says the most beautiful things any carnation of love could do. He says, forgive them, they do not know what they do. In other words, we don't get it. We're not there, but he is. And so at that moment, what happens is we can understand that we too have an opportunity to reach out. We too have an opportunity to repair the relationships that we're in, the difficulties that we have in our lives. In our Armenian Orthodox liturgy, we sing a prayer called Marmin Derunagan. The translation of it is, the body of the Lord and the blood of the Savior are laid up before us. The heavenly hosts invisibly sing and say, with unceasing voice, holy, 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 Lord of hosts. We're going to hear a group of young kids singing that. It's from a group that we got together back in 2002 and produced a beautiful CD called Focused Vision. And I know we've had so many comments about that, but we're going to hear them singing Marmin Derunagan now, and we'll come back right after that. Marmin Okay, did you feel that? Did you feel how excited these kids were talking about the body and blood? And they've now transformed it. That's what the celebration of the liturgy is. Yes, it is absolutely solemn. When you go to an Armenian Orthodox service, yes, there is that solemnity, but it's an opportunity to really raise your voice, to raise your being. And I hope you felt it, the energy inside that song. It is not just voices, but it is coming from deep down, from within the body. It's this exclamation that yes, despite the hardships in life, we are able to rise. Despite being nailed on a cross, there is a resurrection. There is something beyond the grave. And that's the secret that we have, each and every one of us, within us. When we talk about love, it's that ability to transform that evil, the darkness, into something that is very light, is able to take ourselves out of that lemonade process. Not to make lemonade with those lemons, but to take those lemons and really understand that they are also a part of our lives. And sometimes they are tasty. Sometimes they are something that we need to appreciate in our vast experience of the life process. We're running up against the clock, and I think we have so much to talk about, and I look forward that in a future Next Step broadcast, we can expand on some of these ideas. I'd love to hear from you. You can drop us a line at feedback@epostle.net or any one of the email addresses that you find on our website. You could visit us at inhisshoes.org. We did get a nice bit of feedback this week, and I want to pick out one of them, which kind of struck me. It's written by a lady named Garin or Garine. Not sure, there's no accent on here, but I'll take my chances. It's Garin, and comes from Los Angeles, California. It says, "What a message on independence. I am one of the disenfranchised Armenians that you referred to in your podcast. I've always felt most at home in the Armenian Orthodox faith, but have been so turned off by the politics. Thank you for your podcast. It's refreshing to know that there is movement out there that is returning to our true Christian roots. It's only been 3 weeks in tuning in, but already I feel like I'm coming home. I look forward to future broadcasts and taking the next step. Garin N." Well, Garin, we look forward to taking those steps with you too and all those people that are tuning in to us. You can make it really easy for yourself on epostle.net. And great news, this week we just got added to the iTunes library. So just point your browsers over to Apple computers and get on their iTunes, and you'll find us on there. The Next Step with Father Voskin. And now we have a voice message center where you could leave voice feedback too. Just dial 626 area code 275 Amen. Now, how's that for an appropriate telephone number? 275 Amen at the 626 area code. So, for all of the good people here putting this podcast together, Susie, our producer, Ken up in the booth, and myself, Father Voskin, thank you very much for being with us. We look forward to taking the next step with you.